The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and here we are back again, just 21 hours later. We're going to go down to Florida this hour and talk to a man who has been scheduled twice recently, but has been going through, as many of you know from his name alone, some terrible physical problems, and physical problems that probably would have taken many others out by now. He's an extraordinarily durable, strong, incredibly decent man. He is a scientist. His name is Clark McClelland. He has more integrity in his little finger than most all of NASA has together. That's why I say he is an incredibly decent man. He is honest, and he reports things that he was supposed to keep quiet, and in retaliation, the government took everything away from him, his retirement, pension, the works. One of the most disgraceful examples of America that I've ever heard, and hopefully ever will hear about. It's horrible. Clark has ulcerations on one leg so bad that the doctors want to take the leg off. It's from diabetes. The other one is just beginning now. He is very concerned about going into the operating room because it would be very simple to shut him up. You see, he's written a book. It's called Stargate Chronicles. We'll talk more about that. And in the Stargate Chronicles, he has revealed things about NASA and the Apollo program that were not supposed to be known. Oh, it's been a few years, yes, but still, they're keeping a lid on all sorts of things, especially the ET issue. NASA knows very well that ET exists. They're probably working together on a number of projects and have for a long time. There's all kinds of things going on. Clark has been releasing his book chapter by chapter. When he gets to a point, I hope fairly soon, the whole book will be available. I want to help him promote it and release it to the general public. And I think it is one of the most important books ever written about the United States and space, without question. It's a knockout, is what it is. Clark, are you there, and how are you doing?
I'm okay, Jeff. I'm asking how you are doing.
Well, that's Clark. He's a wonderful man. Thank you. I'm getting my core strength back a little bit better each day.
Yeah, You got to be very careful, Jeff. You're one of the enemies of you and I.
I think they have tried to remove me several times in recent months.
That's right.
I don't say that lightly, and I'm not having fun with it. It's I'm serious. One very strange thing. I know my front porch, my house, very well.
Yeah.
And I was walking up in the evening, and my mind went blank again. It just went blank. And as I approached a step that I knew like the back of my hand, and I didn't step up, I kicked the step and fell forward. I flew through the air, basically, and fell right on my left broken wrist and on my bad right knee, and then on my face. And had there been a pot or a box or a planter there, I would have broken my neck and been gone. So that was weird. It was just weird. You don't miss steps on your own front porch. It didn't happen.
No, so, that's how they plan it, and that's how they're able to have you lose your consciousness.
They can do anything at distance or up close. They're 30, 40 years ahead of what the average sheeple understands in technology.
Actually, 50-plus years, I was told.
Well, not surprised. And I don't know if I told you this, but right after the crash, when my car did its forward cartwheel through the air and then hit, rolled, and spun, a pickup truck, and these are eyewitnesses telling the Oregon State Police this. You need to hear this. A pickup truck with two men in it came racing up and stopped right next to my wrecked, destroyed car with me in it, unconscious. I guess they assumed I was dead. And they got out of their truck and ran to the car and went into the car, reaching through the broken windows. They were gone. Through the open door, looking for something. They weren't looking to help me. And this is what the people told the Oregon State Police. And as the fire trucks and rescue units got nearer, they had to pull back, jump in their truck, and sped away. There's not too many ways to read that. They were looking for something that may well have been involved in the effort or the successful effort to make me to shut my mind off, so I lost complete control of everything and went off the road. And I don't know if they got it or not. I have no idea. But there's no other way I can read it.
Well, you survived that. You will survive it again if anything happens, because you and I both have something secret that's caring for us. I know that already. I know who it is. I know what it is. But few people know.
Well, I'm only grieving over the suffering you're having to go through, and I just, if there was anything I could do for you, I would do it in a split second.
Oh, that's okay. I just have a really hard time staying alive nowadays.
I fully understand. This is going to pass in time. I don't know how, but you're going to get the help you need. Clark goes to doctors, and a lot of you say, well, why doesn't he just get pain medication? Well, he goes to doctors, and a lot of them are not real sympathetic to him for reasons I think many of you can figure out. He doesn't get the relief he is due, that he should have, and he is left to suffer. And this is medicine at its worst. But it's geopolitical medicine is what
it is. Not one pain medicine that I have been given. And one of the highest ones, I'll read it, it's oxycodone acetamin, 10-325 milligram tabs. It's oxycodone. And that's supposed to be the most powerful pain medicines.
Right.
And Jeff, I got no relief from it at all.
Well, I don't even know how to begin to approach that. I wonder sometimes if they aren't giving you placebos.
That's what I believe. I think it is that. Let me mention something, please, real quick. Please. Vets Today made mention of this, too. I know the man there. There was an RLM aircraft. RLM was the Aircraft Ministry of Nazi Germany. And a Ju-390 was flown out of Europe.
Yeah.
Across the oceans.
Right.
Up and over Greenland and then into Canada. And it flew over into and shooting photographs of the industry on the Michigan industry area. It also then, it was, the aircraft had six engines. It was bigger. It was far bigger than a B-29, like bombed Hiroshima.
Right.
Nagasaki.
Well, they only made two of them that flew. The third wasn't quite finished. But yes, long range, high altitude, six engine. And we do believe that was the plane that took Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun and God knows how many others down to Argentina.
That's right. And then it was, it had a crew of four people. It flew, it could fly 18,000 miles without refueling.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And a young lady in it, Anna Kreisling, they called her the White Wolf of the Luftwaffe.
Yeah.
Of the Luftwaffe. Anna Kreisling. She had whitish yellow hair.
She flew the plane?
She flew the plane. She was the most beautiful woman they said that they had ever seen at that time. Then I found out that the Vets Today, the man there, actually met her in California a few months ago. She's still alive.
Well, she could be in her 90s.
At least that.
Yeah, 100?
And you can't find a photograph of her anyplace, Jeff.
I need to talk to you more about this. Okay. Did you talk to Harry about this?
No.
Okay, you really should. This is very interesting. I've never heard of this before. Hannah Reich was the other blonde, brilliant pilot.
Yeah, brilliant. She was the one that was recognized a lot more than this lady, Anna Kreisling.
How did you find out about this?
I was given the information in the last several days. I get information in like that. And
wow, that's amazing, Clark.
She flew.
Uh-huh.
She flew over through Canada.
Uh-huh.
With three other crew members. And she flew then over Michigan and the industrial area of Michigan, which is very important to us.
Yes.
And then they flew east again, and they flew over New York City and kept flying until they went over the Atlantic and disappeared and landed in Paris, France again. This woman is an amazing pilot, and I hope maybe she's still alive, but I cannot find a photograph of her no matter where I have looked.
Is there any data printed on her online?
Yes. Just look for Anna Kreisling. K-R-E-I-S-L-I-N-G. Anna Kreisling. Everyone that has ever seen her, including Vets Today, said even at the age she's reached, she is still a very beautiful woman.
Well, beauty is a lot more than necessarily physical. But in any case, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anna Kreisling.
Anna Kreisling, and she was thought of by Hitler and his staff as being a daughter that was born in Tibet, and that she reached the Germans and joined the Nazi Air Force. It's an amazing story about her. It should be written in a book.
I found a picture of her.
You did?
I did. I'll send it to you.
Oh, my God. I looked for 5 days for that.
Yeah.
Please do that.
Yeah.
Is it an old picture for her?
Yeah, black and white picture.
She's older now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this talks about The Junkers JU-390.
Yeah.
Let me see. Hold on.
Okay.
This is an amazing aircraft.
Yes, it was. It was twice as large as a B-29.
Mm-hmm.
Had a crew of four. It could fly 18,000 miles without fueling. That's okay. One hell of an aircraft.
Hold on. All right. I am Thatcher Morris from Australia.
Okay.
This is certainly a shocking and genuine testimony as I have ever seen. This is a comment. I visited a forum here on the internet on the 9th of June, 2015, after my husband separated me and my marriage of 8 years was broken down. I was totally inconsolable and without hope, blah, blah, blah. She goes on to talk about this situation. Anyway, it's rather personal. It's not directly related to the story, but at the top of the page is a picture of the airplane.
Is there a photograph of her there?
I'm looking. It's not a photograph of her with the airplane, no.
Okay. But you say you found a photo of her?
Yeah.
Send him.
I will. I'll send it right over. What we're talking about are German aviators.
That's right.
German scientists, especially the German rocket scientists,
yeah,
who came over here and took us to the moon or didn't take us to the moon, however you wish to personally believe it.
Well, I was there.
You were there, and these men were so brilliant, and they weren't slave drivers. They were told, you either work and you design and you produce or you die. And that was the story.
That's what Dr. von Braun, my friend, did.
Yeah.
And his other men, Dornberger and a few of the others. I met all those scientists from Germany. I met them all. That's very rare.
That's astonishing.
Now, Hans Kammler, this is very important to hear. Hans Kammler, who was an SS general,
mm-hmm,
he was also a doctor of science. He had 14 million people building underground factories for Hitler, for his rockets and jet aircraft and various other things. Well, Dr. Kurt Debus, who was my director at the Kennedy Space Center, was the top scientist for the top secret, the Bell Project, the Glock, the clock, the
correct,
D-Glock Project.
Yeah, sure. We've all heard about that. And for those of you who are up on ufology at all, you'll remember the event in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Where the craft crashed in Pennsylvania.
That's right, and I was there.
Okay, tell us more about de Glock, the clock, in the early days. What you know, probably not a lot. Debus was involved with it?
Dr. Debus was the head scientist for Nazi Germany for the de Glock project that was called the Bell. When Debus was selected to leave Germany with Dr. von Braun and the paperclip group, he assigned Hans Kammler to the Bell Project, telling him he must protect it with his life.
Yes.
And he did. He kept it protected, and then Debus became part of Project Paperclip with Dr. von Braun and came here. Kammler met with General George Patton in Europe. They planned the shipment of the de Glock, the Bell, to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. It was accomplished. It was accomplished with that aircraft that was flown, the JU-390,
mm-hmm,
and they flew it to an area where it was transferred to a cargo ship that was not very noticeable in any way at all, except for what it was carrying.
Yes.
And when it was carrying that, it carried it across the Atlantic Ocean with Dr. Hans Kammler in it. And then after that, General Patton was murdered in Germany while
yes.
he was in a hospital there.
Yes, by our Zionist
that's right.
protectors.
And Kammler launched 1,300 V-1 or other type of rockets against the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
And 518 were launched on London alone. Kammler was a very intelligent man, but was also extremely cruel because he had many of the slave laborers in the underground plants that they were building and producing aircraft and rockets from
mm-hmm.
that died when they were in the they were held under captivity there.
Mm-hmm.
So Kammler was also a cruel man, but a very intelligent man too. Now, I was called to the doctor, Dr. Debus's office one day, and they said, "Clark, Dr. Debus wants you up here to receive your autographed color photo of him that you requested."
Wow.
So I went up on an elevator to the fourth floor of the Kennedy Space Center headquarters building. I had an office on the third floor. When I went up there, the secretary said, "Clark, he's got two gentlemen in there. They're having a conversation, so
mm-hmm.
make it light and swift." I
mm-hmm.
said, "Okay, honey, I'll do that." She said, "Dr. Debus, Clark is here." I went over to the door, knocked on it, and he said, "Enter." I went walking in, and the two men that he had there with him stood up and clicked their heels at for me. When they click a heel for somebody, that's...
What an honor.
That's great honor, plus it's a lot of respect.
Indeed.
Okay. Now, I didn't recognize them at the time there, but one of them was Hans Kammler at Dr. Debus's office.
Hans Kammler was not supposed to be alive.
Of course not. They said three or four times he died, but that's bullshit, Jeff.
Yeah.
Total bullshit.
Yeah.
He survived. He brought the Glock here, right, Pat, where they back-engineered it. They were reproducing a copy of it, which they did. But Russia reproduced a copy faster, and then they flew it into orbit. It had malfunctions up there with its support engines, whatever else it had.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down over Canada, came down over western Pennsylvania, cut across to the east from Pittsburgh, and fell in Kecksburg. In Kecksburg, PA. I was sent to Kecksburg only a few hours after it hit the ground there with another person at Kennedy Space Center.
Okay, hold the story. No, don't hold the story. I want to go through the story. How were you notified that you were going to go to Kecksburg? Were you told what you were going to go there for? And I have just found a story about the world's most dangerous photo recon mission of World War II.
That's right.
And that is the one with...
Anna Kreisling.
Anna Kreisling. There's a picture of the plane over New York City. It's just a mock-up, but it gives you the idea. This is extraordinary.
Showing the Statue of Liberty below it.
Correct. Yeah, I'll send a link to this story to you.
I need a link to her photo. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, you got it. It's coming.
I'm wondering, Jeff, is she still alive in California? Because the vets today saw her there.
German veterans or American veterans? Do you know?
The vets today is the U.S. vets today. They have a newspaper.
Veterans today.
Veterans today.
Oh, okay.
They were in California for an honorary something that helped to honor her. And she was there, and that was only a few months ago, I believe.
I'll find out from Gordon. I'll call Gordon and ask him.
Okay.
I've got the author's name.
Okay.
We're all squared away on that.
Well,
so.
they have thoroughly forgotten me and anything I wanted to say on Vets Today.
Well, we have him here, and you're extremely well known all around the world by this audience.
Yes, I'm sure. Anyway, I've met so many very famous people, and I've met them at the Kennedy Space Center, Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy, and I met them from out of Huntsville, Alabama.
That's where the Germans were largely first taken.
That's
the
right,
scientists.
Huntsville. And then they were distributed to the Space Center, Kennedy, and Cape Canaveral and Kennedy Space Center. That's where I met a lot of them there. And, of course, I met Dr. Von Braun when he would fly in there. He would always request that I talk with him out back of the hotel we were having awards at. And we'd go back to the back, and we talked about everything you could imagine there, Jeff.
Wow. Oh, what would I give to have been able to talk to that man?
Oh, well, I talked to him many, many times.
Yeah, my father knew him.
Yeah.
Not as well as you, but he knew him.
Yeah.
I just found a picture of Adolf Hitler shaking her hand. Anna's hand.
Anna's hand, really?
Yeah, yeah, and Hermann Göring is just behind her. I'm going to send these... right over to you right now.
I appreciate that.
They're on their way right this moment.
Now, I said I met another person there besides Kamler, and I could only take a guess who that was because I don't believe it is who I thought it was. So the other person I mentioned in the story I sent you, chapter 28 of my books, I would like to change that. I think I have the wrong pilot there.
Okay.
And, if you would, please mention my website, The Gold from the Moon, that I have in my chapters, please.
I will.
I'm getting very few readers of my chapters, and that's all I can depend on besides my $1,200 a month from Social Security, which isn't enough to live on.
Understand. That's what's done to you is beyond description cruel.
Okay,
here's another picture of her.
Wow.
I just found another. They're vintage pictures. That you have to just do a little search. And
is she pretty?
Yes, very, very. In a very handsome way for a woman.
Yeah.
Not weak-looking, very strong, handsome.
Yes. That's what she was.
Yeah.
That's what she was. If she's still alive, I hope she's hearing this. And I wish her well, and I hope she lives 150 years.
Yeah, I would...
Even though she was in the German army that was trying to kill my father in World War II.
Well, the German army was trying to protect its own people, its own country, from the Bolshevik hordes from the east.
That's
90% of World War II was fought in the east. We have to remember that.
Yeah.
10% in the West. That's it. We didn't win World War II.
No, we did not, Jeff, and I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I do too.
Jeff, when we had the overflights in 1952 of Washington, D.C., the overflights were from very advanced ships that were built under the snow caps and mountains of Antarctica.
Yes.
And they were flown out of Antarctica. They could fly to the United States in just an hour or two. That's how fast they were. And they flew over Washington, D.C. President Truman saw them. And they sent him a message that here are our weapons now. If you would, please, do not anger us. Or we can wipe out your city of Washington, D.C. So President Truman backed off, even as high as a 33rd degree Mason he is, or was. I'm a 32nd degree.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Ah, interesting. My grandfather was, I can't remember, he was 32nd or 33rd.
Yeah, 33rd is very rare. It's very
honorary. Probably 32nd, but...
Yeah.
He was a chef, a French chef. He married into my family when I was about four.
Wow.
And married my grandmother. So anyway, very interesting. Now, let's go back to the Kecksburg crash of the clock. The clock.
Okay.
What? Where were you at the Cape when you were summoned and told to get ready to go? You were going somewhere.
I was in my office in Building 1604 that I was assigned to the Gemini project of two-man spacecraft we had. And I was called on the phone by a very top-secret person I'd rather not mention right now.
All right.
And he said, Clark, you're flying to Vicksburg, Pennsylvania. I said, sir, I'm aware of what happened there. He said, that's good. He said, we think of you as the very, very most expert person we could send there for this mission. So they recognized my background in ufology and astronomy and space science. And I was thought that all through the time I was there, except for when they destroyed my retirement. And that was done by Zionist Jews.
Well, you were a top-of-the-line scientist. Clark worked intimately with the Apollo program and knew as much about, probably as much about it in an overall sense as anyone.
That's right. Dr. von Braun was so surprised to a degree of my intelligence on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you must have a high IQ. I said, sir, I'll mention it to you, but don't mention it to anyone else.
Yeah.
I said, I have a 170 IQ, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Clark, I'm not surprised at that. That was a comment from Dr. von Braun.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I've never heard you mention that before.
I don't mention it hardly everywhere.
Understand.
I don't, because I'm trying not to be bragging. But yeah, I had a...
You're not the type of person that could ever brag. You tell the truth.
I had a 20-point higher IQ than Dr. The Jew scientist, Dr. What's his name? The Jew scientist for the USA.
What did he do? Oh, Einstein.
Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against Einstein. Einstein, in my opinion, was actually a good person. I never met him, but I wish I had.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm doing chapter 28 right now, which is covering as much as I can.
Well, this is wonderful.
About what you asked me to do about the German scientists I met.
I did ask you to write a chapter about them because it is so important.
That's right.
And I'm glad and grateful that you're doing that.
I'm doing that. I'm trying to recall a lot, but to be honest with you, I'm almost 80. And in the health I'm in and the condition financially I'm in.
All right. Let me break.
Okay.
Clark is in possession of some of the gold foil that was wrapped around the legs of the lunar lander. All right? He had astronaut Jim Irwin, I believe, brought it back and gave it to him. He is offering pieces of this gold. Now, some of you don't believe we went to the moon. Some of you believe we went some of the time to the moon. I don't really care what anyone thinks. The most important thing to understand is that we had to get to the moon because of the public relations that was hanging on this whole project.
And also
so,
the H3 there.
The helium-3.
Helium-3 was found at all six landing sites of the Apollo craft.
Huh.
Large amounts of helium-3.
Mm-hmm.
And we place now a warning to every nation on Earth that flies to the moon. They had better not enter any of our six landing areas.
Hmm.
That's a warning.
Right, I
know,
understand.
I know we would have a great attack on any nation that did that.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
All right, very good. Now, I've sent you pictures.
Okay.
Of Anna.
Okay.
And I've also found a picture of what appears to be the clock. Let's see.
Yeah, is it DeGlock?
It is. It's DeGlock, and I'll send that along as well.
Okay.
We will take a break now.
Okay.
We'll come right back with the remarkable Clark McClellan. Clark is offering a photograph of the moon, astronauts on the moon, and a piece of the gold that was wrapped around the leg of the lunar lander particular mission.
Apollo 15 lunar lander,
and
it's
15.
It's called 24-karat gold Kapton.
Okay. By that time, it's quite likely that we were going to the moon. I believe the first couple of missions probably were filmed by Stanley Kubrick, as is said, because we couldn't afford to lose. The stakes were too high with the Soviets. We had to get there. So at any rate, we'll be right back with Clark in just a minute. Okay, back with Clark McClellan. If you would like to get one of these remarkable small pieces of gold foil and the photograph, you could certainly do that. Just click on Clark's name. You'll go to his website, which is stargate-chronicles.com.
Yes, they can see on there also a photo of the gold in a golden frame that I mail out to anybody that would like it.
Very nice.
And the chapters, if they could also please, to the listeners that hear me now, if you can help me, please. I really do need help. I'm not begging. I need help, and I need it now. I'll be 80 in September if I reach 80.
This man has no income, all right, no steady source of anything. I just understand that. And his service to America, no one achieved any higher ranking or level of accomplishment than Clark McClellan did with
that's
NASA.
That's right. I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence, and I have stories about that that I have not released yet, but maybe I will. And that'll make the people realize.
I think you need to release all of them, Clark, while you have the time.
Well,
and we have the time.
Well, my problem is, Jeff, I'm in 100-degree temperatures right now in my mobile home.
Do you have an air conditioner?
It's in my bedroom. I have had it running for 3 hours. So when I go back there after this radio contact with
mm-hmm.
you, I'll have a nice cool room to go back to, but what I'm sitting in right now
mm-hmm.
is 100 degrees temperatures. I have fans on, but they're blowing nothing but hot air at me.
I understand.
Now listen to that, listeners, please. I'm suffering, trying to help all of you, and like Jeff has, there are very few of our people like Jeff and me. So if you don't help protect us, there's no way of being able to be protected any longer.
Well, we as a nation, there's very little left, unfortunately.
No, the Constitution's been ripped apart.
Yeah.
And when that was done by the Zionist Jews, they began destroying the United States. Then they made the United States go away. The USA was murdered, Jeff. It was
right.
Murdered by
yeah.
the Zionist Jews.
Oh, we know that. This audience knows. We understand.
And they wrote the New World Order. They wrote the New World Order laws.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is now called the North America New World Order, and it includes Canada and Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and it's spreading down to Central and South America, and it's also spreading around the world. So eventually, what would happen is the small nation in the Mediterranean called Israel would then capture and control every one of us listening to this program. We would be slaves to the Zionist Jews. I don't ever want to hear that. I don't want to ever live that.
No. No, thank you.
No.
No. All right. Tell us about some of the other Germans that that you met, the scientists, the brilliant men.
Okay. At first, I can't remember all their first names.
Well, first of all, Kammler, again, was reportedly dead. He was too brilliant. He was one of the major prizes of World War II.
And that's right, and that's why he survived. And he was flown out of an area of Germany to a nondescript type of cargo carrying ship, and it didn't look like anything but another cargo ship. And then the Glock was transferred and stored in the cargo bay of that ship, with Dr. Kammler there, sitting with it all the flight over, all the sail over to the United States. And then it was moved up to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
It may have not been called that at that time. I can't remember.
I think it was.
Okay, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And it was placed there underground. They have it right past 6 to 7 stories under the ground of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of top secret space science and aircraft and whatever else stored down there. And they back-engineered the Glock. And that's when one was flown into orbit by the Russians. And then it had problems in orbit. Not with the Glock, but it had problems with the support equipment that was flying in orbit.
I see.
And then it was released from that equipment. And it was released, and it flew in across the Pacific where it was, and into Canada. It went down to western Pennsylvania, where I'm from, Pittsburgh. It took an eastern course there and fell into Kecksburg, PA.
Hmm.
That was in December the 9th, 1965. I was flown to Kecksburg by a twin-engine jet with another person from NASA.
Hmm.
I have never mentioned his name.
Mm-hmm.
I know who it was. We were there. We were picked up by a military car with a guard in the front to guard us. And we were taken to the close area where the device was sitting. When we went there, we got out of the car.
Where was the device when you walked up and saw it? Had it already been removed from the ravine, the small ravine?
No. No, I dug into the surface there.
Uh-huh.
It tore down some trees coming in.
Correct.
And then I saw it there. I was able to see it and kind of with eyesight measure it, because they didn't want me to even measure anything. I had a guard with me constantly.
Really?
Uh-huh. With a gun. And then I tapped on it to see if I could hear any type of reply. I didn't hear one, thinking maybe someone may have been inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other man I was with, it was a man. He was doing his own. Scientific evaluation. What he saw, and I measured it. And I measured it as best I could. Then I heard large trucks moving in, and we were told that they were coming in to remove the object, and that they were taking it to an Air Force base in Ohio. So we had to leave the area, and I had no camera. They wouldn't allow a camera with me. I thought I had a tape recorder, but now I don't even know where that's at. Jeff, I had a lot of things that I wish I could have retained, but I haven't been able to do that. So I thank all of you who listened to me tonight, and especially Jeff Rentz, who needs all the support possible for him. They made attempts to kill him. They have made several attempts to kill me, and I survived. So Jeff and I are under the eyes of a surviving type of God that protects us against these Zionist evil Jews.
Well, the planet is in the hands of
Lucifer and Satan.
It's indescribable.
Yeah.
For a group of people who refer... Now, remember, Judaism, a religion, and Zionism are antithetical. They're the opposite of each other.
Yeah.
Zionism is a secular, non-religious movement of world domination and conquest.
That's right. The people
on this planet who determine and have identified themselves as being of the Jewish faith are also Zionists in many cases, and that's only 0.37%, according to one international tally. So it's a very small amount of people. They are brilliant at what they have done. There's no question about it. They have literally taken control of this country, lock, stock, and barrel. They run the Congress. They run the government.
They run the presidency, too.
Well, of course. George Soros is one of the key players.
Right.
They're
is
involved
he
in everything. Yes.
Oh, I thought so.
Yes.
George Soros.
Yeah.
I do. Of course, his money is helping the Zionists destroy this country. I love my United States of America with all my heart and soul. My family came here on the Mayflower. John Clark was the first mate on that ship. So my family's been involved with patriotism for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we have just about a minute left. Anything else you want to mention about the German scientists?
No, I'll write it in my chapter 28.
Good.
And if they would, they could open that and read about it. And all I want to ask them one more time is, please try to support me.
The cost of the picture and the piece of gold foil that came back from the moon is how much?
About 140 bucks or something like that. For a piece of gold from the moon, with people buying drugs and everything else now.
Oh, gosh.
It's a very small amount of money, and it helps me a great deal.
Indeed.
And read my chapters. Thank you, people. Thank you very much for listening to Jeff Rentz.
Thank you, Clark, for being here.
I wish you all the help in the world of being protected, Jeff.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I've sent you two emails with pictures of Anna in them. So.
Oh, I appreciate that so very much.
All right.
Okay. God bless you.
Enjoy.
Take care.
Good night, Clark.
Good night. Bye.
Clark McClellan, an extremely brave man, dignified even in his excruciating pain. Okay, we will be right back with Hour 2.